Okay, part three, talking about the global theft of the risen Savior of a King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul, our only apostle, and all the stuff that these modern Bibles are stealing. The number one thing I do believe is the risen Savior and Paul. Okay, part three, here we go. We're looking at Acts chapter 26. This is when Paul's giving his testimony again, and this is in much more detail. This is marvelous stuff. He starts off, this is Acts 26, verse 16 to 20. Here we go here. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here we go. Here's a purpose of Paul. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Okay, we'll stop there for now. Let's go back, NIV. Now get up. This is what, according to the NIV, this is what Paul's telling King Agrippa. He says, I was told, now get up and stand on your feet. Get up and stand on your feet. What? But rise and stand upon thy feet. Much more elegant, much more, and it's not hard to understand. Anyway, now get up and stand on your feet. You know, here, picture this, he's on the road, and he fell down on the road, you know. And the Lord himself says, now rise and stand upon thy feet. Rise. You can see him take his hand and goes, rise. Or he's got his, or Jesus has his hands on his hips and says, now, you know, get up. Stand on your feet. That's so bogus, this modern stuff. Anyway, I've appeared to you and to appoint you as a servant. Ooh, what happened to the word minister? And these modern people think that these modern churches and pastors teach that their pastor is a servant, their minister is a servant. Are you kidding? These guys don't do anything that people want them to do. Oh, sure they do. They're servant of those people. Yes, we want you to preach this. We want you to teach this. We want you to be our servant. We will tell you what to preach, et cetera, et cetera. We will tell you how to take care of us, et cetera, et cetera. No, but Paul was told, listen, Paul, go be a minister to these people. Ministers need to tell these people what they need to hear. You know, and be a doctor, you got to tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Go minister to these people. And a witness, both, okay, anyway, NIV. Appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Now, sure, Paul's going to be a witness of what he has seen. That's, you know, Jesus says that, both of these things which thou hast seen. But listen to this, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, NIV, and you will see of me. Doesn't mean that he has to see Jesus face to face when it says, we'll see of me. You know, in NIV, this guy named Paul, well, he'll tell people about what he's seen of the Lord. Well, it could be anything. But King James, the which I will appear unto thee. Okay. Big difference. Maybe you don't see it. I see it. Do you see it? Huge theft. Keep going. NIV, King James, keep going. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And that's an odd verse, isn't it? Because the Lord tells Paul, listen, Paul, I'm delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He's taken them away from the people he's going to send to. What does that mean? Very simple. A pastor with his congregation has to preach to these people, but he has to be delivered from them. He cannot be their pal, buddy, friend. That's probably one of the harder things it was for me as a pastor, is I couldn't be these guys' friends. I had to be delivered from them in order for me to preach to them. And if you become their buddy, if one guy gives you more money than the others, then that guy becomes your boss. He becomes you're under bondage to that guy. No, you need to be delivered from that. Guy wants to give $5,000 to this ministry, go right ahead. But I can't treat you any different than those people who can't give a nickel or a dime because of their health, because of their lack of income, because they can't do it. This website is available to anybody. But I still can't be anybody's friend, close friend out there, because, you know, you've given so much money or you've done so many things. And I'm telling you, some of you folks have done me marvelously. You have helped me physically because you've helped me with money so I could do my physical therapy. You have been there to keep the website going. You have helped me repair my computers. Some of you folks have just sent me money for years. You know, that's a marvelous thing. And I can't begin to thank you for all that the support and financial, spiritual, prayerful support you've given to me personally as well as to this website. But there are also a lot of people out there who haven't given a nickel or a dime. And many of them can't. They just cannot do it. Maybe someday some of them who won't, maybe someday they will. We have to keep this website going. It's getting more and more costly. Got to help me keep this thing going. Some of you folks, like I say, have helped me with my health for physical training, and yet some of you folks out there have health problems a lot worse than mine. A lot worse than mine. I may sound like I don't know that because I'm a great whiner, but I still can't treat you any differently than I treat those that can't give a nickel or even won't give a nickel. I mean, this is what he said. Paul had to be delivered from the very people he was sending them to. Make sense? Sure. Now look what it says here in NIV. I will rescue you from your own people. Rescue? You're not rescuing. I'm not rescued from being your friend. I just can't be. I have to be delivered from that. But rescued? What is wrong with delivering thee from the people? I will rescue you from your own people. And by the way, they throw the word own people in there too, notice, okay? Okay, amazing. Here's the purpose, keep going. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the King James. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. NIV, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Okay, now being turned to God or being turned unto God. Total difference. If you have turned from the darkness to light, if you have turned from the power of Satan unto God, that's because you are with God. You are unto God. But in NIV, turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That doesn't mean that you've got him. You've just been turned to God. But have you been turned unto God? Have you got God, or you just turned to him? Big difference. By the way, most people still, even though the modern Bibles haven't found one yet, but it says from the power of Satan to the power of God. No, that's a modern teaching, even though the scriptures may not say it. There might be a Bible out there somewhere that says that, but we're not turned under the power of God. We're turned unto God. From the power of Satan unto God, not from the power of Satan unto the power of God. We don't have the power to put our fingers into the form of a cross and scare away devils and all that stuff. We don't have the wisdom in our brain to, be the winner of the world. We don't have that kind of power. Now we turn unto God, and God does. The powers of the power behind this Bible is immense. Well, how do you know that? Well, just carry your Bible everywhere you go. It just bothers people. Put your Bible on the seat next to it at the airport, and chances are nobody will sit there. There's something about that Bible, King James, that's a spiritual book. Now, if you want to open up your Bible even on the kitchen table in your house, you think that's going to keep trouble away, that's not going to happen. I mean, that's just another one of that Pentecostally, miraculously Great Commission balonies, you know. Okay, now, so, King James, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay, let's look at this one, NIV. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins, okay, and a place among those. And a place among those doesn't mean that you're part of the inheritance. You can go to somebody's house and sit among that guy's house, but that doesn't mean it's yours. But if that house is your inheritance, then yes, you can sit. You've got that inheritance. But NIV, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith? No, you're part of them in the King James Bible. By the way, and then it says, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, the faith that is in Paul, He is not talking about having faith in Paul. My faith is in Jesus Christ, not in Paul. Paul is not my Savior. But Paul has a faith in him that I also have in me, and it is the faith of Jesus Christ. Bunny trail. Go down that. Look up the phrase faith of as compared to faith in. Modern Bibles will change faith of to faith in. Especially in Galatians. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what Paul's talking about here, these people have been sanctified by faith that is in me. It's that faith that's in me, not faith in Paul. Because this is what NIV says. A place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You take an NIV or any modern Bible, and it sure looks like they're saying you got to have your faith in Paul. Well, yeah, we have to trust Paul to be telling us the truth, but that's not my faith in Paul. My faith is in Jesus Christ. And my faith, because it's in Jesus Christ, gives me the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the faith that's in Paul. Not sanctified by faith in me. So these guys are sanctified because they've got their faith in Paul? Come on, what is this? Where do they get... See, people don't read their scriptures. They would look at that and go, wait a minute. That's not right. Now, there's a bigger one coming up soon here anyway, probably in part. What is this, part four? I forgot to mention that. I think this is part four. Okay, so continuing on, King James Bible, for upon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That is stated so coolly, so neatly, so kingly. For upon, O King, this is Paul speaking so eloquently to the king, you know. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. NIV. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Heavenly vision. To the vision from heaven? Anything can come from heaven, the vision of heaven, right? Galatians talks about that. But no, this is the heavenly vision. But showed first, King James, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should go, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Okay, so he's going to go to them of Damascus. Doesn't mean that they're in Damascus. It's just that they're of Damascus. They're Damascusanian somewhere around. And at Jerusalem. And throughout the coast of Judea. Okay, NIV. First to those in Damascus. No, he's not in Damascus. It says of them of Damascus. Then to those in Jerusalem, but he talks about at Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and King James says the coasts of Judea. And then to the Gentiles. Okay, so there's that little small stuff, I guess. Although any correction or change in the King James Bible is not small stuff. King James, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for their repentance. They're going to be doing works meet for, meaning those are the kind of works that will show that they've had proper repentance in their life. Their life has changed. Works meet for repentance. They're the kind of works that show that they've changed their life. NIV, preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. Well, you might think it says the same thing. It takes more words. But, and do works meet for repentance. Doesn't mean that they can fake it. But if they're going to demonstrate their repentance, that can be faked. See, there's a difference in depth there. Acts 26, verse 25. But he said, and it gets all done with the King Agrippa, and then Festus, everybody's got a Festus or two in their life. And he says to Paul that he's mad, you know. So Paul says back to this Festus guy who's accused him of being mad, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. What a good answer. Well, an NIV says, I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. Oh, come on, please. Paul says, I am not mad. NIV says, I'm not insane. Being mad and insane, I suppose you could look at them the same. But why? What's wrong with saying I'm not mad? Insane? You know that people are starting to accuse Bible-believing King James only, Paul-following, risen Savior teachings, rightly dividing by Paul's books only, as being mad. They're nuts. Insane? I don't know. You can still be, you know, here, bunny trail. Somebody who is a murderer, he kills somebody, and they say that, maybe he was insane, and maybe it's a hate crime. Maybe it wasn't a hate crime. How can you kill somebody and be sane and be normal? How can you kill somebody and still love them? Any murder is a hate crime. Any murder, it deals with insanity. So to plead insanity to get off on the murder is just bogus. Yes, you were insane when you did it. Maybe not insane totally. Maybe you were just insane the time you did it. But you need to be put down yourself. Okay, whatever. That's bunny trail, nothing to do with this other than the word mad. And I'm not insane. If Paul was insane, he'd be a gook all the way. He'd be a kook and gook all the way through his whole life. But is he mad at what he believes? Is he nuts with what he believes? That can be. See, he's not insane. We're not insane. Are we mad? No, we're not nuts. That's what the Bible says. That they're going to think we're insane. And he says, "Most noble Festus." See, here's this guy attacking Paul, and he goes back with "Most noble Festus." Doesn't fight with him. Doesn't argue with him. Kind of praises him a little bit. Most noble Festus. NIV, most excellent Festus. Excellent Festus compared to noble? There's a difference. King James, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the NIV says, Paul replied, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. No, it's not just true, it's the words of truth and soberness. This is serious stuff that we're talking about here. This is eternally serious. Soberness. But compared to reasonable? Listen, compared to this world, what we have to say about the risen Savior, King James Bible only, rightly dividing Paul's books only, etc., etc., that's not reasonable. It doesn't make sense to these people. Sure, it's true, but reasonable? And I'm not just saying something true. I'm speaking the words of truth. This Bible is the word of truth. What I will say to people about this Bible will be true. But when I say scriptures, when I read the verse to the people, now I'm speaking words of truth. And it's serious. I'm speaking with soberness. These are words of soberness. Reasonable? Cut it out. Okay, we got to keep going here. We're looking at 15. Okay, we got time here. Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Now, this is one of my favorite verses here to show these preachers and people what their preachers need to be preaching and how we as people need. Just look how important Paul is to this thing. Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, which, by the way, is Paul's gospel, Romans 2:16. It isn't just 1 Corinthians 15, 1-5. It's what Paul teaches, you know. That's just what gospel is, the things that Paul teaches. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's Christ. Christ is going to establish me according to Paul's teachings, according to Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, of course, the preaching of Jesus Christ, here's the catch, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is Ephesians chapter 3. Which, by the way, was kept secret since the world began. Okay, so these pastors, these preachers, should be preaching to me and to you in your church that Christ is going to establish you according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, according to Paul. Paul teaches the goodness of God. Paul teaches the risen Savior's teachings. You will not be established by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Acts 1-8. You will not be established by preaching and learning Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Those aren't written to us. That's not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That would be preaching Jesus Christ according to the Gospels to the Jews. That would be preaching Jesus Christ according to those in the tribulation. We need to be taught and established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Anything else is profane and vain babblings. See how important that is? NIV. Now, to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, whatever, G, change to with, whatever. The message I proclaim, no, preach and proclaim, still we talked about that, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. Okay, if the revelation of the mystery has been hidden for long ages past, how do you keep that? No, it was kept secret, but now was made manifest, going on in the King James Bible. How do you keep something that's been hidden? No, it was kept secret. That's what the word keeping is meaning there. Okay, King James Bible, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. NIV. But now revealed, as compared to made manifest, what's wrong with made manifest, and made known through the prophetic writings. Ooh, that sounds intelligent. By the command of the eternal God. Eternal God? How about everlasting? Is there a difference there? There is. Just listen to it. Everlasting. Eternal. Well, we know what eternal means, right? But he wants everlasting there, so there's a reason for it. And I like this. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Have you ever heard of the phrase, you need to be baptized because you need to be obedient towards baptism? No, it's obedience of faith, not obedience of baptism. Water baptism, bogus. All you do is get wet. Doesn't please God. It's not a scripture command by God. No, that's another sermon. So this water baptism stuff, whether it's for your salvation or after your salvation, is bogus. In fact, those that preach Acts 8:27, I think it is, that say, well, so you need to be baptized like this Ethiopian eunuch was after he was saved. No, that Ethiopian eunuch's salvation is based on the fact whether he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There's nothing to do with what Paul taught about salvation. So this obedience to baptism is incorrect. It's wrong. Should be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Your faith in Christ gives you the faith of Jesus Christ. No other Bible says that. And then they say in NIV, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Comes obedience that comes from faith, or the obedience of faith. Totally different. Totally different. Okay, let's keep going here. How are we doing on time? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and in chapter 11, verse 1, there's a couple of different places where King James Bible says this, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So we are to follow Paul as Paul follows Christ. Okay, we're supposed to follow Paul. He's our minister. He's our only apostle. Not the 12 apostles. We don't follow them anymore. That's apostolic doctrine. That's early church. That's Acts chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 4 is how we're supposed to follow Paul with our churches today. Modern Bibles. Listen to this. I mean, if this doesn't make you want to toss out your Bible, it says in all your modern Bibles, therefore I urge you to imitate me. Oh, so we are to imitate Paul? Not only that, these modern Bibles tell us to imitate God. Can you seriously imitate God? Those modern Bibles tell you to imitate Jesus Christ. Can you honestly imitate Jesus? Can you imitate the risen Savior? That's an imitation. Imitation. False. Anti. The devil is imitating Jesus. He's an antichrist. Does that not want you to toss your Bibles away? It was many, many years ago when I first got into the King James Bible. This was back in Las Vegas many years ago. Somebody sent me a book of devotions by Chuck Swindoll. Something about toss another brick, follow another brick, something to do with a brick. And I was reading that thing along, just blindly reading along until I came to this thing, for he had a devotion based on imitating Christ. And I just sat there thinking, what are you talking about? You can't imitate Christ. That was the verse that got me to realize these modern Bibles are dangerous. They teach a false devotion. They teach a false doctrine. They teach a false Bible. They teach a false church with false pastors, with a false salvation, with a false walk that does not please God. Do you not see that in your NIV, RSV, QRV, STU, WXYZ Bible when it tells you to imitate Christ? imitate Paul, imitate God. It even says to imitate your pastor. Anyway, it's on my website. Dig it up. You can see it. How are we doing here? 24 minutes. Okay, should we just, let's do another one here. We're winding this thing down finally. 1 Corinthians, we did that one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the, King James. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. See, people are being taught that Paul is wrong, his teachings are false, you're overdoing this thing. But they'll tell you not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Well, yeah, the testimony of our Lord goes back to Moses. It goes back to the garden. In Ephesians chapter 3, Jesus Christ is the one that created all things. It wasn't just God by Jesus Christ, by the way. Anyway, I think that pops up before we get done here. I think it does. Okay, so I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony of our Lord is he came down and went to the Jews. The testimony of our Lord is he was willing to come back to them through Peter. The testimony of our Lord is through Paul. The testimony of our Lord is tribulation and the second coming and eternity, millennium, etc. That's the testimony of the Lord, of our Lord. I'm not ashamed of that. But listen, I am also not ashamed of Paul. I'm not ashamed of Paul. Okay. Just so you know that. You probably can tell that. Okay, NIV Bible. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Oh, about our Lord? Or how about the testimony of our Lord? The testimony of our Lord is everything I just included. And all those different testimonies are testimonied to different people. The testimony of our Lord through Paul is what we're looking at today. But the testimony about our Lord? They could just park on the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and be happy there. But it does say, or of me his prisoner. Well, that sounds like they're telling you not to be ashamed of Paul. But it says, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me his prisoner. King James says the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Both. If you're not ashamed of the Lord, then you should not also be ashamed of Paul. Then it says, but King James, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. NIV, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Oh, woe is me, I'm suffering for the gospel. Or, are you partaking of the afflictions of the gospel? If you're going to follow Paul, you're going to partake in the afflictions of the gospel. Paul says in Timothy, if you want to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. That persecution will be afflictions of the gospel. It's because that's what comes when you follow Paul's gospel, according to the power of God. And, NIV, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Oh, so it's God making you suffer. See? Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So God is, it's God's choice. It's God choosing me to suffer with this cancer when I'm only 18. Well, God chose that. I get so tired of that stuff. Folks, we live in a cursed world. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we are going to be blessed with heavenly riches and not have to suffer the afflictions of the gospel. So if something happens to you, God didn't make it happen to you. It's like a couple of years ago with Katrina, one of these big tragedy, one of these big, what do you call them, hurricanes, whatever. And all these houses were washed away on the beach except this one house. And you know what those people said in that house? We prayed to God that he would make our house last. Oh, so these other people, none of these other people prayed to God that their house would, I mean, see what I'm saying? God chose you to be blessed, or God chose you to be cursed. God chose you to have it together, and God chose you not to have it together. God chose you to have a good spirit about yourself, yet God chose you to not have a good... See what I'm saying? This is not by God. This is a cursed world. It will be until Christ comes back and all the kingdoms, plural, become his. In the meantime, You know, let's not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, Paul, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. According to. Don't blame God for your problems. They happen to all of us. Oh, I tell you. Galatians, should we stop there? We're looking at 30 again. Let's stop there. And we will continue with the conclusion, I think, part 4. See you in part 4, I hope.